What's good, everyone? My name is Jacob Moses, community builder at Strongtowns, and welcome to It's the Little Things, a Strongtowns podcast where in each episode, we focus on a different action that you, the concerned citizen, the elected official, the city planner, can take to make your town stronger. This episode's action? Combating food deserts through corner stores. In the United States, 13.5 million people live in food deserts. That's 13.5 million people in neighborhoods across the United States who by design, not choice, struggle to lead a healthy life. You see cities respond to this obvious struggle in different ways. Some have banned dollar stores, hoping it will create a market for traditional grocery stores. Others have given huge tax incentives to supermarket chains, willing to create new locations in certain neighborhoods. Eventually, these strategies may address food deserts, sure. But as a member of the Strongtowns movement, I can't help but ask myself, what small bets could cities make today to address food deserts in their neighborhoods before giving away tax dollars? Ask this episode's guest, Kelly Jackson, and you'll hear a response you likely didn't expect. Invest in your local neighborhood corner stores. Since 1998, Kelly's family has operated Hank's Mini Market in the Hyde Park neighborhood in South Los Angeles. Visit Hyde Park, and on the surface, you'll notice the usual culprits behind the food desert, such as fast food chains and gas stations. But in 2018, Kelly, who took over the always beloved corner store for her father in 2014, partnered with the LA Food Policy Council to participate in its Healthy Neighborhood Market Network, a program that empowers owners of food stores in low-income and minority neighborhoods to provide healthy food in their communities. The result? A corner store ran by the same family that makes Hank's Mini Market so beloved in the community, adapted to the needs of the neighborhood, without the city foregoing millions in future tax revenue. In this episode, Kelly shares the story of Hank's Mini Market, and how with a little love for the neighborhood you serve and allies on the local level, corner stores across the country can combat food deserts, including how Kelly responded to the needs of the neighborhood, why corner stores represent much more than a place to buy the day's needs, and how corner store owners can empower their customers to lead healthier lives. Enjoy. Hey there, Kelly. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you, Jacob?
I'm doing good. Doing good. How's life in Hyde Park?
Everything's going well. We're blessed and doing well here.
I'm so happy to hear it. Well, Kelly, so excited to have you on the podcast. We have a great subject to discuss today, and that is combating food deserts through corner stores. And Kelly, truly, there's no better person to have on the podcast to discuss this topic than yourself. You're owner of Hank's Mini Market in the Hyde Park neighborhood of South Los Angeles, doing an excellent job of providing healthy food to the neighborhood, acting as a community space for the neighborhood. Really, I think what listeners will be surprised, just way more than what they may initially think of what a corner store represents. So thank you for being on the podcast and really excited to hear your insights today.
I'm definitely excited to be here. Thank you for the invitation. This is actually my first podcast, so I'm really excited.
I love it. Yeah, it's going to be fantastic, Kelly. Well, Kelly, to get us started, I'd love to start off by learning a little bit about the history of Hank's Mini Market and its relationship with the Hyde Park neighborhood. I understand your father owned Hank's before you came in. Is that correct?
Yes. The store is named after my dad. His real name is Henry Jackson, but the nickname is for Henry is Hank. So the store is named after my dad. And he opened 22 years ago in 1997. We live in the neighborhood as well. So I think my dad's vision was always to own a business in the community. And just timing was able to find this beautiful space and really take over this corner and like really helped clean it up. In 1997, it was definitely a different time and a lot of not so good things were happening around here. And my dad really came in and valued the community and really built relationships with everyone from top to bottom to like show value to everyone. So, yeah.
I love that, Kelly. It sounds like your father really had and still does have a heart for the neighborhood and wanted to do what he could to make it better. That's a great story. Give listeners, you know, a mental image of, before you took over, what this corner store looked like. Was this a traditional corner store that a lot of folk would see in their neighborhoods? What was it like?
It was like most liquor stores, corner stores in South Los Angeles. Here in our city, there's practically a lot of those spaces on every corner. And so there's this huge proliferation of corner stores, specifically liquor stores and fast food chains, but not enough grocery stores or access to healthy options. And so definitely was a part of that. But one of the things I want to mention about that is that liquor stores and corner stores sometimes have been given or associated with negative connotations, and not every corner store, mom and pop's liquor store should be blanketed into that. Just like our space before our transformation, it wasn't the best looking space and it needed a lot of love and care, but there was still great work being done in that space. And I just kind of wanted to touch on that, us not focusing on this one perspective when it comes to this kind of industry, but understand that everyone is not the same, and getting into those spaces and getting to know the owners of those spaces so that you can really define in those moments what and who those spaces are really about is what we all need to do.
You're exactly right, Kelly. And I know I think about my own experience in my own neighborhood. Whenever I think about my most favorite places, the reason why I love where I live, it's because of my corner store. You know, a block down, maybe a place called the Midway Mart. It's been owned by the same couple of folk since the early 2000s. And yeah, the extent of their produce is lemons and limes and maybe the occasional orange. But I'm able to walk into a space, see the same three or four employees every single day. They greet me with a smile. They say hello. They ask me about my life. They ask me about my partner's life. So you make an excellent point, Kelly. You know, it's easy for us to, you know, kind of lump all corner stores together and maybe just purely associate them with cigarettes and lottery tickets and beer. And that's true for some places. And perhaps we do have corner stores that sell this type of product, but that doesn't define them. And it's really important that we look beyond that and really understand the whole of a corner store.
Definitely, definitely. Because those are still things that we sell in our store, but with the transformation in the new space, it's not what we highlight in the space. We're highlighting or feel like this is a home away from home. And so those things, when you go into certain homes, like those things are possibly a part of the space, but they're not highlighted and they're put in a place that's safekeeping for adults, right? And so in our space, we've kind of made sure to highlight the new space and this idea of a cleaner, more open feel, more home away from home. Like you come here and it's a family owned store. So we're a part of your family, and you as our customer and our neighbor are a part of our family too.
I love that, Kelly. And still come to Hank's Mini Market and, you know, buy your beer, buy your lottery ticket, buy an apple, buy some Cheerios. Throughout that process, what we call this, Kelly, as Strong Tents is, you know, a third place. I have my place at home. Maybe I have my place at work. But now I have my place where you said my third family, if you will, at Hank's Mini Market. I know you guys have done a fantastic job at building that third place in Hyde Park.
And this kind of idea is like, I think when it comes to healthy food, sometimes we kind of think that everybody should be on the same page. And I think another thing that we've learned or really stuck to here is this really meeting people where they are. And in that, meeting them where they are and having this open space in this way that you're able to see where other people are. And it's instead of us pushing or trying to push you to be healthy or to pick up healthy things, you're just being inspired by the space and by the other people and the things that they're talking about or purchasing for you to kind of start shifting in your thinking, in your way of beginning your journey onto health and wellness.
Yes, I love that, Kelly. And whenever we have, you know, third places like Hank's Mini Market, there's already that built-in trust. So say, you know, there's someone who wants to eat healthier. You know, maybe they walk into this a basic supermarket in Los Angeles. You know, it can be very overwhelming. You know, maybe you have questions about different kinds of produce or how you can eat healthier, but there's so much happening at once. There's not really any familiar faces compared to Hank's Mini Market. I come in, I'm curious about this new product selection. I'm curious about this new produce. How cool is it that I can talk to Kelly about it, a longtime friend, a neighbor who's familiar with the product, to help me, like, transition me into, you know, considering some more healthier products. I want to talk a little bit more about that transition, Kelly. So you shared that whenever your father, Henry, owned the market, it was more of what listeners would call a traditional corner store. I know that later on, whenever you took over, y'all partnered with the Los Angeles Food Policy Council, who we've also had on the podcast, to do what a lot of people see as a corner store intervention. So partnering together to bring a more healthier product and, as you said, create more of a, you know, open, bright space for the community. Could you tell us a little bit about what that process was like, if listeners are unfamiliar of what these kind of transformations look like?
Yeah, definitely. So probably a few years ago, maybe in 2014, luckily a guy by the name Hector in another organization, he was doing a focus group and he stopped here and asked me to be a part of the focus group. And we talked about converting corner stores or helping corner stores bring in produce. Personally, I'm from the neighborhood, but I really didn't understand or know about food deserts. To go to that focus group and then learn more about bringing access to healthy food to our neighborhood and the idea of food deserts, it was like, oh, wow, like, you know, we're in the middle of one and we could be of such a value of helping in this way. I was just really interested in learning more. And that's when he introduced me to the LA Food Policy Council. And luckily around that time, they were just about to have a conference. I signed up and went to that and was able to learn more and see an example of a corner store going through a transformation. And it just really opened up my eyes to, like, oh, wow. Like, I thought I was on an island where, like, all the corner stores look the same. There's no books or information about how to be different in this industry. And so to go to that conference and to be able to, especially being a visual learner, to see that, it was like my eyes were like, whoa. Ever since that conference, I made sure to make myself available to go to all their workshops and just kind of learn more about the work that they were doing. And luckily, they selected us for, since I was so passionate and excited about of the work that they were doing, they did select our store later, a few years later, as a space that could be on the list for potential transformation. Then luckily, they connected with the fast casual food chain, Sweetgreen, who was interested in helping with a transformation project. And Sweetgreen, with the LA Food Policy Council, went on a tour of several of the stores in the Healthy Neighborhood Market Network. And then Hank's was selected.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So what kind of projects did they do in Hank's Mini Markets? Were they looking at signage? Was it just a matter of introducing a healthier product? What does the store look like now that was because of this transformation?
Well, we definitely went through a full brick and mortar transformation. It's one of the largest projects that the LA Food Policy Council has done, and it's turned out like way beyond our dreams. It was really uplifting and really creating a whole new look for the whole space. So with the LA Food Policy Council and working with Sweetgreen, I had a team of 5 members around me from the Sweetgreen company. One of the designers, Jane from Sweetgreen, she helps design the Sweetgreen restaurants around the country. She came in as our designer and helped design the new layout for Hank's. She really went off the ideas that I had because I've been thinking about this a lot. And so I had a lot of examples.
I know you have a background in art, probably had your own vision for the store as well.
Yeah, definitely. And so she did a great job of, like, if you were to go through the examples of what I was looking for and what I wanted, if you saw those, that mood board or those images and see the space, you would say she was right on it. So we had a full space update, a new refrigerators for all our beverages, just really top to bottom, new store, new facade. And then this whole group that helped with sourcing, pricing, and really rebranding the store. We were able to have Logan come in and help with a new logo, new branding for the store. So it was just a real great team that really was surrounding us with a lot of support to really turn and shift Hanks into a whole new creative and innovative direction.
Kelly, I'm curious how the Hyde Park neighborhood responded. You know, perhaps whenever they think about getting grocery-like product, the setting that they're most familiar with is, you know, a 40,000 square foot space with dozens and dozens of aisles and every possible piece of produce imagined. How do they respond whenever they're walking into a familiar setting, but suddenly seeing all this tremendous, diverse product that they can select from? How did your neighbors respond those first few days stepping into this market?
Before the transformation, I did, you know, talk to our customers and tell them that we were going to go through this project and be updating the store. But we were closed for a while. And I think because of a lot of things that usually go on in our community is that people say they're going to do things and then sometimes they don't follow through on those. So I think some of our customers thought that that was what was going on here. And so when we finally opened and they were able to come in the store and they saw the same family behind the counter, they were definitely really excited about that. And some people, because of the new look, when we had this conversation about what we want the space to look like, I always said that I wanted it to be a bright spot and I wanted it to brighten up this area on a gloomy day. And I wanted it to feel like a space that was be on the west side of the city, but that it was in South LA. We always had those kind of discussions on being very intentional about what we were doing here. And I just wanted our space to really say thank you to those that continue to support us, but to start having these conversations about how do we reimagine and redefine what these corner stores and liquor stores can be in our community, and how does our store be that catalyst for these conversations on the customer being empowered to know that they should have better spaces, they should be able to shop locally, feel safe, and have access to healthy, fresh foods. And how do we start using this space as that example to create this new narrative?
I love it, Kelly. And, you know, many of our listeners are familiar with the term food deserts. Many of them likely live in food deserts themselves. But, you know, we're so quick to associate the only solution to a food desert with a supermarket. Like, I know here in Dallas, I guess I'm in Denton, Dallas, the next major metropolitan city over. The city just agreed to $5.7 million in tax incentives to bring a Kroger to the neighborhood. You know, Kelly, I imagine that neighborhood is very excited. You know, they haven't had much investment with healthy food, so really excited to have this Kroger come into town. I empathize with that. But it makes me wonder, Kelly, and I'm sure you the same. It's like, weren't there probably dozens and dozens of corner stores that were a one block, two block walk from these residences that we could have used this money to transform? It's great. Like we need supermarkets. They're fantastic. But I'm with you. I think these corner stores, they're in walkable neighborhoods. They're ran by a few folk. They're a great third place, familiar faces. They say what's up. These are the people that we should be working with to bring healthy food, or to at least try it out for a fraction of the cost. If it doesn't work out, cool, let's maybe look into a supermarket. But let's work with these great corner stores that are in our neighborhoods already and see if we can provide healthy product.
I definitely agree with that. I definitely think that there's an opportunity to have both. And there's this idea of like, and I think that that's really what we stand for, is like, we're not trying to be the grocery store. We're a mini market, but it is about a mile away and everybody can't get there. And then there are those that can get there, But usually when you go to a grocery store, you always forget something. And so now you have this opportunity to be able to use both if you have access to it, and know that if you forgot something, or at the end of the day, you don't want to travel that far, that now in your corner store in your community that you have access to, like maybe you forgot that you're making tacos tonight and you don't have any more lettuce, but now you know that Hank's has lettuce and tomatoes. So instead of having to travel so far, go through the traffic or whatever obstacles it takes to get there, now you're able to be like, oh, my corner store has it. And I want to support my corner store.
Say what's up to Kelly.
Yeah, definitely. So I definitely think that it doesn't have to be either or. Some money could go to a grocery store. But like you're saying, to really build up the communities, we can't forget the small businesses. We can't forget the mom and pop businesses that have been supporting us when those other things weren't there. We shouldn't be pushing them out. We should be working with them so that we can all build and grow together. And that's important too.
That's right, Kelly. And it captures the Strong Towns movement so well also. We always say, how can we help neighborhoods, you know, be self-sustaining if that major grocery store never moves to town? How can we still ensure that we can provide healthy product? And a great way to do that is to invest in the wonderful food stores that are already serving the neighborhood. So truly commend you all at Hank's Mini Market for stepping up and filling that void from the neighborhood. It's remarkable, Kelly.
Thank you.
How long has it been since this transformation?
It seems like not so long ago, but it's been over a year now. So
over a year.
Yeah. Yeah, we opened, or our grand reopening after the project was complete was April 7, 2018.
Okay. So you've been at this for just over a year now. I'm curious, you know, perhaps there's some corner store owners listening to this podcast or people who frequently patron corner stores, and maybe they're a little hesitant, you know, of this transformation, and, you know, understandably so. You know, a lot of the product that they may have to get rid of is maybe some of their best sellers. But from what you've done at Hank's Mini Market, it's shown that, you know, we can still be a viable business, but also act as a third place for the neighborhood, act as a community gathering space. Kelly, for folk who may be, you know, hesitant of a transformation like this, thinking back on this past year and witnessing just the incredible community that having a transformed corner store like this has built, what would you say for some of those folk that may be a little hesitant at first to pursue something like this?
Everything can happen in steps. And I think that that's definitely what happened here at Hank's. And the first step was really, you already, as a corner store, as a business owner, you already have, or hopefully you have, good relationships with your community. And so where do you first start? It starts with having conversation and doing surveys and asking questions about, are you interested in healthy food? Or what other options are you interested in us making available in our space? Or like a survey that just puts all the produce down and just asking your customers if they can take a moment to jot down the new items that they would like to see in the store, so that you can have like tangible numbers and to see where people are and if they're interested. And most likely they will be interested, because there's this idea that in these underserved communities that people don't want to eat healthy and that they're interested in just fast food. But that's only because those are the things that are available in those communities. And it's kind of been designed this way. And so most of the people are just going to what's accessible or what's quick and fast there. But what Hank's Mini Market has shown is that just providing the access and options to other things that people in these kind of communities that are more underserved or don't have huge access to healthy food, that they want those things and they're going to show up and buy those things. You can't add these things to your business and then not promote it or let people or market it and let people know about it as well. You just have to, it has to be in steps. It's having conversations and building relationships with your community and letting them know the new things that you want to introduce to them. And then taking the steps to try things out and educate, or at least let people know that these are the things that are in your space. When we think about these big businesses, small businesses don't really have the budget, or we don't make the budget to like market and really get our name in our, and the things that we're doing in our spaces out there. But that's what all the big businesses and big brands are doing every minute of the day. And so we have to start thinking about those things so that people could be familiar and know when we're, what we already have and the new things we're introducing. And I think those are two things that could be thought about and implemented.
Beautiful, Kelly. Well, Kelly, I'll tell you what, I'm just so inspired, and I imagine other listeners are as well, you know, because food deserts, it's a hot topic. It's one we talk about a lot. And as I said before, sadly, we only associate the solution with supermarkets, but there are great steps that we can take in our neighborhoods today to start providing more healthy product in our neighborhoods. And I really appreciate sharing that story, Kelly, and keep doing what you're doing at Hank's Mini Market. I know I love your work. I know the Strong Towns team has shared some of y'all's articles from Civil Eats in our little team Slack channel. So an honor to be able to share y'all's story in the podcast.
Thank you so much.
If anyone wants to connect with you, learn more about what's going down with Hank's Mini Market, where can people connect with y'all online?
We're working on our website, so hopefully we'll have that soon. But for now, you can definitely follow us on social media platforms, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And it's simply at Hank's with the S Mini Market. And yeah, you can see all the cool things that are, that we're doing, which I didn't get to mention, is that like we did talk about our space not only having a shopping area, but also having a community space, a safe space within the community, within the shopping experience. And so therefore we put on nutrition workshops and a lot of arts and other activities to bring the community together to learn and grow. This whole idea, or our hashtag, is stronger together. And so just understand that, you know, to be a healthy community, that we do need each other. And yeah, so we have a lot of flyers or a lot of things that we share there about our events and the activities and things that we're going, that's going on here. So we definitely would love to be connected to more people. And then when you stop or you visit South Los Angeles, to stop at Hank's. That would be awesome.
Yeah. I love it, Kelly. And listeners, I really encourage y'all to check out their Instagram. I know it's the joy of my day whenever they pop up on my feed. Just really tremendous imagery of, you know, still if you're having a hard time picturing what a transformation like this looks like in a corner store. Like, how can you possibly have healthy product and beer in a space about 1,000 square feet? It is achievable. And Hank's is doing it. And their Instagram does a great job of giving you a mental image of what that looks like. You get to see the community space, get a job of what these nutritional workshops look like. Really excellent example of what a corner store can be in a community. Kelly, thank you. This has been an absolute joy. Hope you have a great day at the market, and we'll chat very soon.
Thank you so much for your time and sharing our story with your community.
Always. Thank you, Kelly. Have a great day. We'll talk soon.
You too. Take care. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone. If you're enjoying the content, please subscribe to It's the Little Things on iTunes, and we will chat next week. See ya.